Transport Minister Fikile Mbalula has revealed the Passenger Rail Agency of South Africa, PRASA, has uncovered 3,000 ghost workers in its system who were receiving full salaries, and PRASA stopped paying their salaries in December, and no one has come forward complaining about not being paid, he told the Portfolio Committee or the Parliament's Standing Committee on Public Accounts, SCOPA, today, after the committee's oversight visits to PRASA facilities in Gauteng and Western Cape earlier this year. And Professor Berianyane, as I said, is on the line with us from the Northwest University's Public Management and Governance, and he's talking to us about this story and what could we expect on President Ramaphosa's address a little later after this show at 8. Good evening, Prof, and welcome to UFM.
Good evening to your studio. Good evening to your listeners.
And Prof, this was a, or sounds like a well-orchestrated system of corruption within PRASA. How else can we explain it? I mean, 3,000 ghost workers, how possible is this?
Well, it is possible given the history of the manifestation itself. If you remember the days of former Premier Mahoma Pilu, who once flagged this issue, to say about same, almost the same number, if not more, that in the Northwest you had ghost employees as well. It's been the norm, unfortunately, in certain quarters of our public service, including municipalities, by the way, which then tells us that you have an administration that unfortunately is incapable of solving this issue. And pretty much those in the know, those who deal with issues of salaries and employee benefits may very well have the knowledge to manipulate the system, of course, in cahoots with other politicians who would make the issue to happen and basically to be prolonged in a way where certain individuals stand to benefit.
So those in the know, or those who deal with salaries, you mean the CFOs of these entities, those who maybe process the payments, salaries to these workers. So this can only be enabled by this group of people who works in the financial sector or section of the entity.
Yeah, the HR that deals with salaries and so forth. But again, it seems to be much more complicated, well orchestrated, amounting to some kind of a clandestine underground activity where information is shared and obviously how to hide information, how to explore information, especially where there are no checks and balances. You will recall there was a season in this country, especially in the public service, where public servants were requested timeously to at least submit their IDs and proof of residence as part of the FICA internal processes to check whether indeed they are part of the organization. So without such similar checks and balances, people can simply manipulate the system and claim that there are ghost employees out there.
And here, Minister is talking about the Operation Siverse that discovered these ghost employees, and he said something like, or they started this campaign around December and discovered this amount of ghost employees and irregularities at PRASA. So it means without this kind of operations, PRASA would be continuing to pay these imaginary employees.
No, absolutely. Well, it also goes to show that their system in turn may very well be imbued with anomalies and limitations, that it is easy for these clandestine groups or syndicate groups to exploit the system, knowing the weaknesses of the system, knowing the somewhat limited strength thereof, but of course, knowing when to actually manipulate the system. So all these concerns and questions and variables are at the behest of the organized crime syndicates that are out there to actually milk this government.
But should we be worried, Prof, especially around the uncertainty on this matter, because it's not yet clear as to how long has this been going on, how many from the 16,985 strong workforce of the of PRASA are among this 3,000 that we are talking about. Should this, or should we be worried actually about this number? Maybe it could be higher than this.
Remember, the public service is a big elephant. At the end of the day, it's not only about PRASA, but other state departments, other government business entities may very well be subjected to the same kind of criminal activities. So the question is, when are we likely to allow the public service to conduct its own internal as well as external audits around this issue so that we're able to save money? But more so, when are they becoming creative and innovative in order to stop the scourge of this criminal activity so that in the end, taxpayers' money is saved?
And this could be one of the reasons why the entity has been failing so much financially.
Well, it's more than that. PRASA has been bequeathed by a number of problems. I mean, on the ground, it's a question of infrastructure that has been dilapidated, stolen, a question of rigging of contracts, including tenders, a high rate of turnover of staff. PRASA has experienced it all. So I wonder whether the current minister will be able to solve these unilaterally. I think it's up to this administration and indeed the president to start looking at that proposal by Judge Zondo to say, do we have a public service corruption czar that will zoom in specifically in dealing with matters of corruption in the public service. Other than that, I don't see any effort. Perhaps there is out there, but I don't see any effort immediately that can halt the scourge as it happens.
But what about the instability, especially at the level of management of this state-owned enterprise, from the GCEO of the companies acting down to the CFO to the group chief security officer? All of them are still acting. This obviously brings instability to the entity.
Well, it tells you PRASA is in the ICU, to use that hospital analogy. It's there because it's a government mandate enjoying allocations in terms of state resources. But other than that, it's an ailing public entity. We've known this for years. So the question is, one, do we have strong leadership to take it out of its doldrums? But again, do we have a restructuring plan that will make sure that PRASA gets back to old days of profitability and organizational strength? I don't hear this forthcoming. Instead, we continue to look at the issues of dilapidating infrastructure and so forth.
Thank you so much for that, Prof. But turning our focus now on what we could expect or look forward to in President Ramaphosa's address to the nation this evening, what is it that you think he will focus on, especially after taking so long without talking to us on the pandemic specifically?
Yeah, I suspect the family meeting is a question of reviving the good old meetings that we had, focusing on whether we still continue with the Disaster Management Act. But again, if we have to look at what is happening in SADC, Namibia in particular, they have far relaxed measures compared to us. Mm. Are we likely to follow suit as much as we want to follow science? But I think it will be more of giving us further relaxed measures, some kind of concessions, in response, obviously, to public measures in dealing with the spread and transmission of COVID-19.
And besides the fact that he met his advisors and the committee put together to look into this matter, the pandemic itself, could the decision of the DA and UDM, of course, taking him to court over the extension of the of this this yes. state of disaster, could be the reason? Could it be one of the reasons why he chose to address us this evening?
Yes. No. Absolutely. Absolutely. Like I said, I think there's pressure coming from SADC. Namibia has far relaxed measures than us, and one of those is obviously staying away from the provisioning of an implementation of the Disaster Management Act, but more so relaxation of these strict rules, especially in areas where there is public involved.
Thank you so much, Prof. Good evening to you.
A splendid one.
Thank you. That's Professor Barry Hanyani from the Northwest University talking to us to, or rather about those two issues, what we can expect from President Ramaphosa, who is expected to speak to the nation or to address the family meeting in the next 26 minutes. That would be at 8. And of course, talking to us again about the